The most interesting was the day that Dixon and I got together in his hotel room, the second day of the race, when I was all sorts of conflicted. Not for myself, but for him. He said it wasn't a problem, us being all itchy, scratchy with each other. But I can't help but wonder if he's one of those men who holds on to grieving to protect themselves from ever being hurt again. I wanted to talk to him about that, but we had to get down to the dinner that night. So instead, I dashed across the hall into my room and took a shower. I was late to the dinner and could see that Dixon was busy with other people, so I sat with Melody. Louise and two of the Italian team joined us almost immediately.
"How did your first day go?"
Luca asked when Louise stopped hogging all the conversation.
"You had a flat tire, yes?"
It was a bit hairy because I was worried the bolts would come off, but fine otherwise.
"Hairy?"
he asked, his face screwing up. "Sorry, in that circumstance, it means difficult. How did your day go before your engine crisis?" He shrugged.
"Carlo, he wants to drive all the time, but he is bad at it. Francesco misses his wife and talks to her on the phone the whole day. Me, I don't like driving the old car, but it is a part of the day, so I do it."
"Sounds like there are personality clashes in more than just our car," I said. My eyes on Louise, where she was leaning over while talking to Carlo, giving him the opportunity to see down her sleeveless shirt. We did have some excitement when Roger told us about a gas station holdup. We lit out after the robbers and caught up with them, but they ditched their car and bolted before we could get to them. It was all very thrilling, if slightly anticlimactic at the end.
"Ah, yes, I heard about that. Carlo, he says that the TV star will leave the show because it wasn't him that ran the robbers off the road. But Fra and I don't think he will leave. He likes that camera much, that one."
"Fra?" I asked. Then it clicked. "Oh, Francesco. I'm kind of in your camp on that. He's like someone else I could mention, and very caught up with who has the maximum exposure on camera." I refrained from looking at Louise, who was, at this moment, scanning the room to see if anyone had a live camera. They didn't.
"It is so. You have a husband?"
I was a bit startled by the change of subject. "No, I don't."
"Boyfriend? A girlfriend?"
I hesitated for a couple of seconds. "No boyfriend or girlfriend."
"Good."
He flashed extremely white teeth at me in a broad smile.
"We go to bed, then. I like the ladies with plumpness."
I sat up straight, sucking in my gut as I did so, then immediately released it. Because I'd be damned if I let some man's idea of what women should look like matter to me. "I beg your pardon," I said stiffly. He made a gesture in the breast region.
"Plumpness is not the word. I like women with bodies like in the paintings of Raphael, yes?"
"Bully for you," I said, then amended it by adding, "Look, I appreciate that you like women of size, but I'm not interested." He frowned.
"You said you do not have a boyfriend."
"That doesn't mean I'm going to hop into bed with you." I glanced toward where Dixon was sitting, wondering if there was room at his table for one more. And if there was, if it would appear clingy on my part to go sit with him.
"You don't like me."
He looked offended now.
"There is something else you like. Lady boys."
"No. Look, I'm just not interested, okay? It's nothing personal. I'm sure you're a charming lover. But I'm just not looking for a man. Not while Dixon was around anyway."
"I'm a charming lover," he said complacently. "Very good. I give women much pleasure, you know. With my mouth and hands. The women's... they like that very much. My joy is quite strong."
"Okay, one, ew. And two, I have no doubt you're the king of oral sex, but that doesn't change anything."